First time I ever heard you say anything about their not being wise. Henry, said the other, munching with deliberation the beans he was eating, did you happen to notice the way them dogs kicked up when I was a-feeding them?
They did cut up more than usual,
Henry acknowledged. How many dogs have we got, Henry?
Six.
Well, Henry, Bill stopped for a moment in order that his words might gain greater significance. As I was saying, Henry, we've got six dogs. I took six fish out of the bag. I gave one fish to each dog, and, Henry, I was one fish short.
You counted wrong.
We've got six dogs, the other reiterated dispassionately. I took out six fish. One ear didn't get in a fish. I come back to the bag afterward and got him his fish.
We've only got six dogs, Henry said.
Henry, Bill went on, I won't say they was all dogs, but there was seven of them that got fish. Henry stopped eating to glance across the fire and to count the dogs.
There's only six now, he said.
I saw the other one run off across the snow, Bill announced with cool positiveness. I saw seven. His comrade looked at him commiseratingly and said,
I'll be almighty glad when this trip's over.
What do you mean by that? Bill demanded.
I mean that this load of iron is getting on your nerves and that you're beginning to see things.
I thought of that, Bill answered gravely, and so when I saw it run off across the snow, I looked in the snow and saw its tracks. Then I counted the dogs, and there were still six of them. The tracks is there in the snow now. Do you want to look at them? I'll show them to you.
Henry did not reply, but munched on in silence until the meal finished. He topped it with a final cup of coffee. He wiped his mouth with the back of his hand and said,
Then you're thinking, as it was,
a long, wailing cry, fiercely sad from somewhere in the darkness, had interrupted him. He stopped to listen to it. Then he finished his sentence with a wave of his hand toward the sound of the cry.
One of them.
Bill nodded.
I'd a blame sight sooner think that than anything else. You noticed yourself the row the dogs made.
Cry after cry and answering cries were turning the silence into a bedlam. From every side the cries arose, and the dogs betrayed their fear by huddling together and so close to the fire that their hair was scorched by the heat. Bill threw on more wood before lighting his pipe.
I'm thinking you're down in the mouth some, Henry said.
Henry, he sucked meditatively at his pipe for some time before he went on.
Bill opened his mouth to speak, but changed his mind. Instead, he pointed toward the wall of darkness that pressed about them from every side. There was no suggestion of form in the utter blackness. Only could be seen a pair of eyes gleaming like live coals. Henry indicated with his head a second pair, and a third. A circle of the gleaming eyes had drawn about their camp. Now and again, a pair of eyes moved or disappeared, to appear again a moment later. The unrest of the dogs had been increasing, and they stampeded in a surge of sudden fear to the near side of the fire, cringing and crawling about the legs of the men. In the scramble, one of the dogs had been overturned on the edge of the fire, and it had yelped with pain and fright as the smell of its singed coat possessed the air. The commotion caused the circle of eyes to shift restlessly for a moment, and even to withdraw a bit. But it settled down again as the dogs became quiet.
Henry, it's a blame misfortune to be out of ammunition.
Bill had finished his pipe and was helping his companion spread the bed of fir and blanket upon the spruce boughs, which he had laid over the snow before supper. Henry grunted and began unlacing his moccasins.
How many cartridges did you say you had left?
He asked.
Three, came the answer. And I wish 'twas 300. Then I'd show 'em what for, damn 'em.
He shook his fist angrily at the gleaming eyes and began securely to prop his moccasins before the fire.
And I wish this cold snap would break, he went on. It's been 50 below for 2 weeks now, and I wished I'd never started on this trip, Henry. I don't like the looks of it. It don't feel right somehow. And while I'm wishing, I wish the trip was over and done with and you and me are sitting by the fire in Fort McGurry just about now and playing cribbage. That's what I wished.
Henry grunted and crawled into bed. As he dozed off, he was aroused by his comrade's voice.
Say, Henry, that other one that come in and got a fish, why didn't the dogs pitch into it? That's what's bothering me.
You're bothering too much, Bill, came the sleepy response. You was never like this before. You just shut up now and go to sleep and you'll be all hunky-dory in the morning. Your stomach's sour. That's what's bothering you.
The men slept, breathing heavily side by side, under the wan covering. The fire died down and the gleaming eyes drew closer to the circle they had flung about the camp. The dogs clustered together in fear, now and again snarling menacingly as a pair of eyes drew close. Once their uproar became so loud that Bill woke up. He got out of bed carefully so as not to disturb the sleep of his comrade, and threw more wood on the fire. As it began to flame up, the circle of eyes drew farther back. He glanced casually at the huddling dogs. He rubbed his eyes and looked at them more sharply. Then he crawled back into the blankets.
Henry, he said. Oh, Henry.
Henry groaned as he passed from sleep to waking and demanded,
What's wrong now?
Nothing, came the answer. Only there's 7 of them again. I just counted.
Henry acknowledged receipt of this information with a grunt that slid into a snore as he drifted back into sleep. In the morning, it was Henry who awoke first and routed his companion out of bed. Daylight was yet 3 hours away, though it was already 6 o'clock, and in the darkness, Henry went about preparing breakfast while Bill rolled the blankets and made the sled ready for lashing.
"Say, Henry," he asked suddenly, "how many dogs did you say we had?"
6.
Wrong,
Bill proclaimed triumphantly.
7 again?
Henry queried.
No, 5. One's gone.
The hell!
Henry cried in wrath, leaving the cooking to come and count the dogs.
You're right, Bill, he concluded. Fatty's gone.
And he went like greased lightning once he got started. Couldn't have seen him for smoke.
No chance at all. Henry concluded. They just swallowed him alive. I bet he was yelping as he went down their throats, damn him.
He always was a fool dog, said Bill.
But no fool dog ought to be fool enough to go off and commit suicide that way.
He looked over the remainder of the team with a speculative eye that summed up instantly the salient traits of each animal.
I bet none of the others would do it.
Couldn't drive him away from the fire with a club. Bill agreed. I always did think there was something wrong with Fatty anyway.
And this was the epitaph of a dead dog on the Northland Trail, less scant than the epitaph of many another dog, of many a man.